You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world? You've got Nightline with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome, welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach, and across the state with me tonight is Mr. Pete Schwabba. We have Dom Lee on the boards up in Madison. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead after this next segment, we're going to be talking to Gene Crichton, who is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium, talking about events down there at the planetarium as well as a special celebration. But don't go anywhere. There's much more coming ahead. Now it's that was a great interview, by the way, with Jason Scheff. If you were just joining us, we spoke with Jason Scheff, former lead singer and bassist of Chicago. He stopped by the show. We had a nice chat with him. And what you heard was just a smattering, not even half of the conversation. And we're going to be putting up that entire discussion on the website. You can hear the whole thing, web exclusive, if you will. If you go to civicmedia.us/shows, find out more about that. I had a great time talking to him, Pete. I don't know about you.
It was an interview on the radio. No, he was outstanding.
Three out of ten.
That's always fun. Like, I got excited to talk to him because of what he's done and his accomplishments. And I love talking to people like that and meeting people like that.
Yeah.
To learn about their experience, but sometimes, like with Jason, he just goes above and beyond, and he spent so much time with us, and that's what I really liked about it. And for those of you who want to see him in Marinette on the 14th, that is a week from tomorrow, I will be introducing him at the Marinette Community Rec Center, possibly joined by Greg Bach. We'll see if he can take a trip north, but either way, I'll be there, so stop out and say hello and listen to the soundtrack of your life, as Jason put it. That was a great way to put it.
Anna on the text line listening in Madison says, "Hi, Pete and Greg. That was a great interview tonight. Thank you very much. My first rock concert was seeing Chicago at the Dane County Coliseum on May 8th, 1971.
Wow. How about that?
That may be like one of their first tours. Like major, I should say, like national.
Yeah,
because, I mean, let me just look this up here. When did Chicago's first album come out? That's right. You are Googling with me.
They formed DePaul University in Chicago. That's where I went to college too. And I think they became the Chicago Transit Authority in 1967 after they moved to LA.
Yep.
And then Chicago. So that might have been their first big tour.
They released their first album. They released Chicago Transit Authority. Wow, talking is tough. In 1969, then their first album, Chicago, in 1970, and that was back in the day. I mean, Pete, I don't mean to get all old man river on this, but like there was a time when bands recorded an album a year or twice a year. They were releasing material all the time. I mean, Chicago Transit Authority, 69, Chicago, 70, Chicago 3, I don't know why it's Chicago 3, I guess because it's their third album, 71, 70, like just tons of albums. But yeah, so when... It's safe to say, when Anna saw them in 1971, they were touring on Chicago 3.
That's crazy.
That
was a blast. Oh my gosh. So she saw Terry Kath and all the original band members. And Peter Cetera actually was not a actual original member, but he joined really quickly. I want to say within the first year. So he's basically an original member, but they were all there. I bet that was an absolutely fantastic show. Dawn Saluski, I hope I'm saying that right, on the stream says, looking forward to seeing Jason next weekend in Marinette. Well, great, Dawn. Make sure you say hello. It'll be good to meet you. And our friend who is stuck in the ceiling fan says, this is a casual ass blast, because it is Casual Friday.
It's Casual Friday.
Did we
Friday.
Reintroduce that, Dom? I don't know if we...
We did not. We did not.
We should get at that.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's Casual Friday with Pete and Greg.
Feeling pretty casual, I got to tell you. Our question of the night, folks, I'll just read it right now because we just had kind of a fun produced soundbite. Let's not go crazy. Yeah. What's the lamest excuse for being late to work? Pretty simple question. Whether you have given one yourself or heard a coworker say something ridiculous, or you were the supervisor or superior and heard something, we'd love for you to share it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, or if you're watching the radio on X, Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube, you can drop us a stream comment like Dawn just did.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, be part of the show, folks. Let's have some fun on Casual Friday here at Nightlight. Tim Jacobson on the stream says, I tried the Big Arch yesterday. It was horrible. Won't get it again.
Yep.
I think we already read that.
Yeah. But I asked Tim to tell us specifically why, and he said the patties had no flavor. The combination of sesame seed and poppy seed was off. The sauce was horrible. I ate half of it and threw it out. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. When I saw the thing being put together in the commercial, I was like, this all seems like something. Like, I worked in fast food, and there was always food you created out of the regular items. This seems like something someone created on a dare and said, "Well, I guess we did." We call it the Big Arch, but we're really just kidding. We're not really meaning or anything.
My son and his cousins used to make what they called an everything sandwich. They would just go into the fridge at my mom's house, and they would just put everything on a sandwich. It was kind of like, that's what the Big Arch looked like. It's like you've already got a Big Mac, but this is twice the calories of a Big Mac. Anyway, we've already covered that.
They've got the Big Mac. We've got the Big Mick. They're the golden arches. We're the golden arcs. Speaking of excuses, though, we have Monica from Mount Horeb listening on WMDX. She says, my coworker called and said she was going to be late due to the sidewalks being icy on the way to the bus stop. I live just a few blocks further away, and our boss told her I had made it to work. She grouchily said she'd be right in. So it wasn't the excuse itself, but just that she got busted. It's a good thing no one said Chicago was overrated a couple of days ago. That would have been awkward. Peter Cetera was not my favorite singer. Okay. Well,
oh, wow. Okay.
Really wrapped up everything there, boy. Monica.
Just kind of that was like a synopsis of the whole show. I loved it.
Chapter 2, My Thoughts on Chicago.
Dana on the text line from the 608. This is my favorite. And it took me a moment, but I got it, Dana. This is his favorite excuse for being late to work. Sorry I'm late, fellas. I was taking a crap. It's a line that Paul Newman said in The Sting to get under the skin of Doyle Lonigan, who they were trying to rope in this poker game on the train. And it's just a remarkable scene. One of my favorite scenes in movie history. And he really does get under, is it Bernard Shaw? Who played Doyle Lonigan? I'm spacing. Anyway, Paul Newman, outstanding stuff. And that's a great excuse.
What are some of your excuses you've heard in your life? I mean, and the thing is that with working in movies and TV and in comedy, you hear a whole bevy of excuses from the artistic creative types that are always seem to be like, this is my experience too, working with people in that field. It's like their excuses are always so, in my opinion, like nothing, but you're like, I guess I can't force you to be here right now, but I guess you're just not feeling it today.
Yeah, it's weird because I've heard stories. I wasn't there for this one, but I did laugh. It was someone that told me the story. They were on a set. The whole set was held up because some girl was late for 30 minutes, and that cost money.
Yeah.
Well, they're all waiting around twiddling their thumbs, and then this woman comes in, and they're all like looking at her like, what's your excuse? And she says, my boyfriend is crazy. And everyone just went, oh, okay. And they all got back to work. Like, it was kind of an acceptable excuse. You know, it's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, that's a nothing excuse to me.
It's a nothing excuse. And I saw another one. This was when I was in high school, and I went to Catholic school. We had to go to mass every day. We would meet at the church.
Yeah.
By this time, it might have been once a week, whatever. But this kid comes in, obviously stoned, really late, halfway through the mass. He's got hair hanging his eyes, and the priest says, Fred, where were you? And he takes a beat, and he just goes, I was late. It was like a Spicoli moment.
Yeah.
Like full crowd seen by the food vendors, you know. Great stuff.
So you had to go to mass every day at one point when you were in Catholic school?
I got confused. When I was in Catholic school in Chicago, it was every day. We would meet at the church and then walk over to the school after Mass. But when I moved to Marinette, it was, I think, once a week. And that's where I was when this happened. I was probably in seventh grade, and this kid was like an eighth grader or freshman from the high school. Oh, it's just, I was like, dude, you got to do better than that. Like, you know, at least make something. I was late is not an excuse. That's just the fact, you know.
I mean, that it really comes down to is like he was just telling the truth. He was not lying. He was not bearing false witness. He was being a truthful young man. And I'm trying to think of like I wouldn't say they're lame excuses. It's just that I remember there were times in my life where I just didn't want to go to work the next day. So I would do that thing where the day before I'd be like, oh, I'm not feeling so good. I don't feel good. I don't know. I hope I'm not getting sick. I really don't want to miss any work. And then later that night, you know, you text someone like, oh, dude, I feel terrible right now. And then the next morning, and you call or text at like 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. Not right before you're supposed to clock in, but early. Or you call and you're like, hey, this is Greg. I'm not gonna be coming in today. I don't feel good. I'm so sorry. Click. Who wants to watch more New Girl?
Did you ever think like your voice sounded so terrible? You're like, I should call in sick today because they would never question it. Even though you feel great, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna call in but I'm gonna get them on the phone and let them hear how horrible. Mike Mercury on social media says, I wasn't sure if I still worked here. That was his excuse for being late. RC Martin, there is no lame excuse. Very few actually enjoy working and probably wouldn't if they didn't have to. Maybe a better question is, what's the most creative excuse for being late? Okay, well, playing lawyer ball there, Rob.
I mean,
that's my buddy. I
mean,
Rob.
As far as being late, I mean, I'm sure I've made up some, you know, white lies or like, oh man, this thing happened. Or, oh, you know, when you walk in disheveled, no one really messes with you. You're like, I'm just having a really bad day. I'm sorry I'm late. And people are like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And you're like, right. I was watching New Girl.
Oh man, we're getting a really nice insight into Greg's.
Oh dear.
You know what? It's funny you say that. I have done that. Like, when I had a
New Girl, it's a great
show.
Not
New Girl, but like if I knew something was on, like remember in the morning they'd have like movies on sometimes on like the fringe channels, not network. If I saw something good on, I would fake an illness. Yeah. And my mom caught me once because I was doing the thing where I hold the thermometer. I was like in sixth grade, did the heater, and I go, here you go, mom. It was like 106. She goes, Peter, like she knew, totally called me out, knew what I was.
Yeah, about. Yeah, it's I mean, as an adult, I would do that. Like, you know, there was a TV show on. I'm like, I can be 20 minutes late. That's fine. This isn't important, whatever I'm doing. If I'm not, I mean, I'm one for punctuality and I do not like being tardy, but there are some times where you can be like, no one's going to, especially if it's like a party or something, no one cares. Right.
But it might have been, it was a very special New Girl that was on that you couldn't miss. Right?
Pete, they're all special. Okay. All 7 seasons are special.
Whoa, 7.
Yep.
Jay Campbell on social media says, I was too drunk to drive in on time. That's a good one. I like that. Andrew Brown, my garage door was stuck. That could actually happen. That's a pretty good one. And Jim Denny, I believe that's Jim from Appleton, says, my cat wouldn't get off my lap. Ooh, that one. That one's trouble, Jim.
You better call in, friend. Then I mean, seriously, if your cat's on your lap, then you cannot be expected to work.
Possibly be expected to work. All right, we're coming right back with Jean Creighton. She is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UWM. I cannot wait to talk some stars, and I think I can speak for Greg on that as well. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach, and across the state from me is Mr. Pete Schwabe, along with Dom Lee in Madison on the boards. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also send in your thoughts on the lamest excuses for being late to work. Also, let us know your thoughts on the band Chicago. We just talked to Jason Scheff in the first hour. You can catch the entire interview on the website because that was about a 45-minute conversation. You got a little snippet of it. Great discussion with Mr. Scheff. He will be playing on the 14th of March. Where again, Pete? At the Marinette?
Marinette Community Rec Center. I will be there. Please come on out and say hello and listen to some outstanding music. And maybe Greg Mock will be there.
Maybe I'll be there as well. But without further ado, I want to welcome our second guest for the evening. She is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Go Panthers. Jean Creighton is our guest this evening. Jean, good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. So, I mean, Pete and I are huge fans of space. I love space. I can look at space and just be amazed by it. I can talk about this all day long, but I'd actually just rather listen. So can you tell us about the Manfred Olson Planetarium?
I would love to. So the Manfred Olson Planetarium is turning 60 this year.
Nice.
And we have about 15,000 people a year. And wow. What's happening is we get a combination of general audiences from the community. We get school groups, of course. We have the birthday parties. We also have classes that take advantage of the planetarium to augment their curriculum, I mean, in university classes. Mm-hmm. So we, in addition to focusing on science and exploration, we also love talking about how the culture and science meet.
That's fantastic.
Love that. So Jean, all right. Give us a little background, please, if you would, on yourself. You have a PhD in astrophysics. I'm barely smart enough to say that. you've studied all over the world. It looks like you've done a little of everything when it comes to physics and space and all that kind of stuff. And it sounds like you could do anything. So how did you end up here in Wisconsin? And how is that going? Was that a good choice for you? It sounds like things are going great.
It was an excellent choice. I love what I do. I'm one of those very lucky people who wake up in the morning and think, just get out of my way. I have fun things to do. So I did have a traditional career path in that I started as a physics major, and then I went to Canada for graduate work. And I found my husband to be as graduate students, and he's academically a year ahead of me. So he had what's called a postdoc, so a research position at Caltech, and he went a year ahead, and I went there too, and I was working on an infrared satellite. I mean, all of these things are super fun and wonderful. He came here, and I had a critical decision to make at some point. Am I going to stay in California, or are we going to live in the same city and have a family? So we decided on the latter, and that turned out to work beautifully because, you know, when your kids are young, you need a little bit of flexibility. So I taught astronomy for a few years, and then an opportunity came up with the planetarium. The person, John Harmon, who was the previous director, was retiring, and the department asked me, could you please be the interim director? And I thought, this is a long way from research on star formation.
Yeah.
But I started doing it and I thought, oh, this is what I was meant to do.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So with regard to your PhD, was star formation your field of study? And forgive me for asking a question that's so like general. I don't know how it breaks up into this, but with regard to your astrophysicist PhD, is that what you were doing? Was that your specialty?
Yeah, even that is too big a specialty because star formation is a super complicated thing. So I was looking at a particular galaxy that seems to have a sort of star formation on steroids and trying to understand what about that galaxy was different that made it possible to have much more star formation happening than, say, our galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it?
Yeah, what was it? Was it actually steroids? Was it steroids?
So the steroids is that the molecular clouds, the clouds that give birth to stars were bigger, denser, hotter than ours.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun part, though, this is quite a few years ago now. At that time, that was cutting edge observations that were possible then. Now, of course, that would be like, oh, we would do that before breakfast, right? It wouldn't be a big deal. But at that time, it was really pushing the edge of what our instruments could do.
We are speaking with Gene Creighton, who is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We were talking about the planetarium itself. It's celebrating its 60th anniversary. We're going to be talking about a few other things as well. I mean, for me, this is amazing and awesome. I could talk about this stuff all day long. So that's how I could talk about space. And I know I understand very little. I'm like, keep talking, blow my mind. Tell me something about the universe. I love that stuff. So we'll be talking more with Gene in a little bit. But if you have any questions, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still more ahead with Gene Creighton from the Manfred Olson Planetarium. After the break, don't go anywhere. You are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out of here alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Till touchdown brings me round again.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach, and across the state with me is Mr. Pete Schwabe. Dom Lee is in Madison, and you can be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. We are here with our guest, Gene Creighton, who is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And if you ever have a reason to watch the live stream, it's to watch our guests dance at our intro and outro music. That's always wonderful to witness. It means they're cool and having a good time, I'm going to assume. Now, Gene, one of the things that happened this week was something called Space Night. What is that event? How does it go? And is it something that happens regularly that people can take part in?
Space Night is part of Geek Week. So campuses around the country have this week in March where, you know, you can geek out with whatever you want. And of course, Space Night seems to be a natural fit. People are invited to wear whatever space gear they have handy. We usually have space themed candies like Milky Way and Mars and whatever else. and we do stargazing. It's free. Yeah. The event is targeted since it's midweek for students, but of course we're happy to get whoever shows up. And we had a group of scouts show up too.
Nice.
So they were very pleased to be part of this.
That's fantastic.
Tell us about the Arabian Nights you have happening in April. That sounds really cool too.
Yes. So as I mentioned before, it's really important for us, Pete, to acknowledge that everybody on the planet looked up and made sense as best they could of you know, how this whole thing has come to be and how we connect to it. The Arabs have very much contributed to the understanding that we have in astronomy. So two students are guest speakers with me. One of them, Mohamed Mash, is from Algeria. And Mona Said is from Lebanon. So they're going to talk about their culture, food, you know, singers, personalities that are interesting. So people feel more connected to a place that feels far, right?
Yeah.
And also to look at the stars, many of which have Arabic names.
Right. All right.
Like that's Betelgeuse, so cool. Right? So it's fun to kind of acknowledge that we're looking at the same sky, we're amazed and awed in the same ways, and often there's some tea and cookies together. It's the sort of events that we need more of, I think.
That sounds very, very fun. You know, we were talking about it right before the break, and you mentioned it during the live stream, but for me, I'm fascinated by just the topic of space, the all-encompassing of it, all, like from the work that you will do as an astrophysicist to just walking outside and looking up at the stars. There's always mind-blowing facts about space that we don't think about until someone with your expertise says it out loud. What is just something that you like to tell people when they are talking about this topic that just you will say it and that just blows their mind completely about where we come from and how it has to do with space?
Yeah, I think my favorite fact, although of course I have many, but my favorite is that we wouldn't be here if there weren't stars.
Yeah.
Because everything that makes us interesting and organic, our oxygen, our carbon, all of those things, the iron, can only cook in a star. It's the only place where the pressure and temperature gets high enough that you can fuse protons to make those bigger elements. Mm-hmm. So literally we wouldn't be here if stars didn't exist. And I think that's wonderful that when you look up, you literally are looking at your ancestors.
That is fantastic. The first time I ever heard the phrase, we are stardust, that literally blew my mind. And it was like, yeah, the same stuff that makes us is in the stars and the gas and dust and all that kind of stuff. I remember going to my grandmother's cottage in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, Gene, and there were no big cities within a couple hundred miles. The stars you saw were unbelievable. And growing up in Chicago and going up there, it made a world of difference for stargazing, obviously. Where do you think the best place in Wisconsin is to stargaze without big telescopes? You've also lived all over the world. You studied physics in Greece and all kinds of places. Where's the best stargazing in the world, and where's the best stargazing in Wisconsin?
So I'm gonna sort of pause here a little bit, Pete, because sometimes we go for perfection and forget about perfection. I mean, perfection, to me, the best observing I've ever done was on the top of Mauna Kea, no question about it. Mm-hmm. Mauna Kea it's high, the atmosphere is super stable. It was gorgeous, truly. It took my breath away when I saw the Milky Way, which, by the way, I had never seen before. It literally took my breath away. But to see the Milky Way, you don't need to go to the top of Mauna Kea. Sometimes you can go to a community like in Milwaukee, for example. There's a community called Brown Deer. There are no street lights. If you go to a community like that, you might be able to see the Milky Way. The best place in Wisconsin is at the tip of Door County. That is one of the designated, the designated dark space. But I've had students, university students, who one of them I remembered specifically, she said, I'm from Wales and I could see this. I could see this dark sky. And I said to her, you don't sound like you're from Wales. She said, Wales, Wisconsin. Okay, I see. So I think that some of our listeners will have access to really dark skies. Yeah. And for those of us who live in cities, this is your invitation. The universe is sending you a message. Find a friend who lives out of town. Maybe go camping. Warmer nights are coming. It really is something special to see some of those beautiful dark skies. But I'm here to say, and Greg mentioned that earlier, we can see cool stuff in our backyard. So don't ignore the stuff, the easy, the low-hanging fruit. Can I tell you about some low-hanging fruit?
Please. Yes,
please do.
This is the time of year. This is the best sky in terms of brightness. So we have what I describe as a bow tie, and that would be Orion. The Anishinaabe people call it Winterbringer. If you can see Orion in the sky, we're still in wintertime, right? Especially in the early evening. So Orion is great because it has three stars where the two bows connect, three stars in a row. Some cultures call those the three kings. Those three stars point to the brightest star in the sky called Sirius or the dog star. And if you go in the other direction, it points to a sharp V, which is Taurus, the bull.
Mm-hmm.
And not close to that, you will find the seven sisters. You don't need a telescope to see those. You need darkish sky, but you can see them in the city if your eyesight is good. There are a super cool cluster of stars. They're physically relatively near each other, and they're beautiful to look at. And again, this is one of those groupings that many people around the world built observatories according to when the Pleiades rise and set. You might have heard them as Subaru, like the car company.
That is the voice of Jean Creighton. She is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee. I think it's funny, Jean, when I was a kid, I would go into movie theaters, and sometimes they had the twinkling stars on the ceiling, and we would always be like, oh my gosh, I don't think enough people do that when they can see actual stars in the sky. Is that the job of the planetarium, is just to get people excited about space? We have such natural beauty. When you look up, you couldn't even conceive that.
Yeah.
And it's out there. Do enough people appreciate it, in your opinion?
Well, they don't, because they don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And unfortunately, people spend too much time now looking down.
Right.
Rather than looking up. So I do think that the planetarium has a great role to play of making more people aware of, oh, look up. It's really gorgeous, yeah. You know? And again, connecting to something also a bit bigger, that we're part, our Earth is part of a whole universe.
And speaking of the planetarium, what other programs do you have coming up? Is there anything planned for the 60th, like a series of plans, or anything coming up that folks might be interested in attending and checking out, sure, the website?
Thank you for asking. Yes. Yeah. So we're starting a series of programs called Solar System Expedition. Mm-hmm. We're offering it as a matinee. Most of our programs are in the evening, but because, you know, there are people who don't care for driving out at nighttime, we wanted to make it easy for families to visit us during the day. So for the Saturdays in March, we're going to have the Solar System Expedition from two to three, and you can get tickets online. The programs that we're offering for the 60th are probably going to culminate in the fall.
Okay.
We're dreaming of a storytelling session. We haven't quite figured out the details yet, but we want to give people a chance to talk about some of their favorite stories connecting themselves to stars.
I can tell you one story
if you want.
Please.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please, so, and thank you.
But talk slow so we can comprehend it. This is amazing.
I think this will be fairly intuitive. So when I was in Greece still, I had just finished a lesson in English, and I was waiting at the bus stop to go home. I was getting super nervous because I was going to another country, and I was, you know, going to do a graduate degree in astronomy. And I was nervous about all these changes and what the challenge might be. So I remember thinking, okay, wow, this is kind of tough. And I'm sitting waiting at the bus stop. And all of a sudden, this aroma from jasmine came. This would have been June. This beautiful kind of aroma enveloped me. And I looked a little more closely toward the west, and I saw that the crescent moon and Venus were there, and Venus was super bright. And I thought, you know what? The universe is telling me it's going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. And I have this very small, very strong sense of, you know, sometimes you just get these beautiful, you get just beautiful messages, right? Mm-hmm. And
you feel connected. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, Jean, I have to assume you've been doing this. You've been in this world for decades now. You've been doing this work. And I want to say that the joy that your face portrays, the happiness you have towards this topic, the passion is so there. And it's so wonderful to hear someone who's been doing it for this long, who speaks like it's your first day, like you're so excited. And the way you convey this message is so important. And we will make sure that the Manfred Olsen Planetarium is in our show notes so people can check it out, get tickets to events. I know I would like to go to this as well. And it's just, it's wonderful to have you here talking about this.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a joy. It's a joy.
And this go ahead, Gene. Sorry.
I was just going to say, anytime I have a chance to, you know, share my passion, invite people, make sure that people know, we want you to come and visit us. Please come and visit us. We do also private shows. So if somebody can't make our scheduled, our programs, our, you know, our public programs, you can always have a birthday or anniversary at the planetarium.
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
all right. That is fantastic. Greg, your birthday party. That's where we're having it.
Yes.
Gene, thank you so much. Keep up the great work and please come back soon. I didn't even get to ask you about your experience with Sophia. So we'll do that next time. And thank you for your passion and everything you do to increase awareness about such beauty. It's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are coming back with a handy tip from Greg and Pete, and maybe Dom will chime in. All right, we're coming right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. Across the state from me is Pete Schwabe. In Madison, we have Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. Everyone, thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for being here this week. Thank you for being a part of Nightlight 2.0, week number two. Our first casual Friday. You know what? Let's do it one more time. Dom, one more time. It's casual Friday, so we got ourselves a sounder for it.
Casual Friday with Pete and Greg.
It sounds like Casual Friday after dark.
Yeah. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. We got a great show for you this Monday, because coming Monday, we're going to be talking to Kathy O'Neill, who's the author of Weapons of Math Destruction. We're going to be talking about the dangers of big data, as well as a discussion with Tim Sowers, who is the co-CEO and chief artistic officer.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's better than a chief tasting officer.
He's got a huge title. Yeah.
Yeah. Chief Artistic Experiences Officer at the Overture Center. So that's going to be on Monday. So don't go anywhere. And don't tune away after us. We got lots of great programming after us as well. We still have some more comments about today's question, which was, what was the lamest excuse you've heard or given for being late? Pete, go ahead. What are some other?
Here's one of my favorites. Daniel Wheeler from Manassas says, what's the lamest excuse for being late to work? Walgreens was offering a buy one box of Lucky Charms cereal, get another half off, but my loyalty card wasn't working. So they issued me a new card, which is why I'm 90 minutes late to work. That is gorgeous.
I believe that, because if I go to a Walgreens nowadays, there's usually one, maybe two people working. And if I go there, someone in front of me is having a problem with their loyalty card.
Yes.
And they have to go back into it, and they have to redo the entire order, or they have to take things off, or this doesn't work, or that. And I am sitting there for, like, I have a bottle of coffee creamer in my hand, and I'm sitting there for 20 minutes. And it is such an exercise in patience and calm, and to understand that no one wants to be in this situation either. So there's no reason to get angry or do that thing that the people go, look around like, does anyone else feel the same way I do? So we could all huff and puff at each other.
Right. Because that hasn't been us at one time either, having an issue with something and holding up the line. And that's where I thought you were going to say, the same excuse could be, I was behind some guy trying to buy a box of Lucky Charms and get one free.
Yes.
But you got to make up these crazy things, like people think you couldn't have possibly made that up. And that is a beautiful one right there. We also have a Chris Opera on social media says, I told my boss once that I was halfway in when I realized I left my car keys at home. I had to turn around and go back home to get them. So he lied. It came back to bite him.
Womp, womp.
I love that. Awesome text tonight, folks. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being a part of the show this evening. Now let's move it on to a handy tip from Pete and Greg.
Oh, you know, it's the tip of the night.
All that money you hear at the end right there, that is the money we spent on that Muppets cameo.
Absolutely.
So, it's Casual Friday. We're having a good time today. We're kicking back. Great conversation with Gene Creighton about space. But more so, what I loved is that her desire to let people know that there's great stuff in your backyard. There's great stuff at your fingertips. It's right there where you can find it. It's free. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to drive 30 hours to see something. And that's kind of my tip tonight is, you know, we got warmer weather coming our way. Go outside and look up at the stars for a moment. It sounds so dumb, but it's true. Give yourself 5 minutes, walk in your backyard or wherever you can, and just look up and just concentrate on the stars and just kind of like turn your mind off. We were talking to, we had a conversation with, we haven't played that yet. No, yeah, next week we're talking to Cortland Dahl about meditation. Put yourself in a meditative space for like 2 to 3 minutes. Look up in the stars. Relax your brain. Take it in. Enjoy. That's my tip, is to just look up, take it in, and enjoy. Pete?
I mean, I totally agree with you. I one of the great things I love about living in Northeast Wisconsin in a smaller town right by the water here, we're just off of the body of water of Green Bay, is that we get to lay on the pier sometimes and look up at the stars.
Yeah.
And it's something that you do, and I kind of asked Gene this, you kind of take it for granted because they're just always there. I don't think we do when we get a little older, but when I was younger, yeah, I'd look up if someone told me to look up. There you can see Venus or there's a satellite, and that's really cool. But to see such majestic beauty every single night, if there aren't clouds, you know, you have it right there and all you have to do is look up. And it's really stunning when you see, this is something you couldn't, an artist couldn't even create this. That's how beautiful the sky can be.
And to paraphrase what Gene said with regard to looking up at the stars, look up at the stars and look at your ancestors, because that's where we come from. Because of that up there, those stars, in that space, we are who we are in our space right here on Earth. So, again, look up, take it in, relax your mind, treat yourself to a moment to yourself. That is my handy tip for the night. And look at your ancestors up in the sky. And that brings us to the end of another tip from Pete and Greg.
Well, I get...
Oh, you know, it's the tip of the night.
I forgot that had outro music. I was saying the stars are beautiful. Gene was very interesting. But at the end of the day, I just want to sit on my couch and watch color TV. Is that wrong?
New Girl. Watch some New Girl.
I got a whole series ahead of me.
Yeah, you do. Maybe it's on the Hulu. All right. On behalf of Pete, I want to thank Dom. I want to thank Tucker, Traffic and Engineering. Without your work, we do not talk into microphones that are switched on. For everyone who called, texted, left a comment on the live stream, thank you. Without you, there is no us. Thank you to Jason Sheff. Thank you to Gene Creighton for all of your great information, all the wonderful conversations we had with you. Don't go anywhere. We still got lots of programming ahead tonight, and we'll be back on Monday, same time, 5 to 7, here on the Civic Media Network. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Pete, say goodnight to the folks.
Good night, Wisconsin. Look up at the stars.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.